We always heard stories about men in black. A lot of people thought that they were strange extraterrestrials in suits. If the FBI was indeed checking up on people who made reports and contactees, and we'll get into that in a moment, is it possible that these men in black were FBI agents?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I've got a whole chapter in the book on men in black reports. What I think was one of the most amazing things I found out, which really surprised me, the first book that was written on Men in Black reports was written by a guy named Gray Barker in 1956, and it was called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. Well, I applied for Barker's FBI file, and it actually delves quite deeply into the way in which he was friends with a guy named Albert Bender, who was one of the first people to report Men in Black reports. What I found most fascinating, as I mentioned, was the fact that none other than J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI boss, actually ordered one of his agents to buy him or obtain a copy of Gray Barker's book, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, and he actually had a copy in his office. That, to me, was incredible. You know, that the director of the FBI was actually reading about Men in Black reports to try and determine who they were, and I've actually reproduced that document in the book in its entirety. Now, as to who they were, I think the FBI weren't the guilty parties in terms of being the MIBs. I think they had an earnest and genuine interest in trying to find out, because they were actually kept out of the loop.
Trying to find out who the MIBs were?
Yes, and I actually think who they were military intelligence and CIA people using the MIB mythology and motif, if you like, as a cover. And the FBI were actually kept out of the loop by the CIA and the military.
Interesting.
So it was even, you know, the FBI was spying on UFO people, but they're also spying on other agencies to try and determine if they were implicated in this mystery.
What are the reports that we would get, to Nick, in the past about men in black? How were they described? Personalities? What did they ask for? How did they show up?
Okay, well, a classic case I've got is actually a British case, a document that surfaced through the British equivalent of the Freedom of Information Act. We get a lot of these reports where people have seen a UFO, and then, you know, a couple of days later, somebody turns up on the doorstep in black car, black suit, black tie, sunglasses even, hat, pulled down hat, turned up collar. And in many of these cases, if not the majority, you know, the witnesses are all very, very convincing and very, very credible. The problem is trying to validate and determine who these guys are. Well, I investigated one case from 62 in England where the witness, who was a young lady at the time, had seen this ball of light outside her bedroom window in the early hours of the morning on several occasions. And several days later, a guy turned up on the doorstep in the typical man in black uniform, for want of a better term. And she related this account to me, and she actually remembered the date because she made a few notes. And this guy came in, identified himself as being linked to the official world, told her not to talk about the incident, and confiscated her pencil notes and compass drawings that she'd made of the movements of this object. Well, fortunately, she actually lived quite near to several military bases, so I applied to get hold of the files from those particular days in question, or that week in question, from the relevant bases, and lo and behold, there was an official file on this woman's report, and it identified the guy who'd been out to visit her as originating with a branch of the Royal Air Force called the Provost and Security Services. Hmm. Now, what's interesting is that the British Provost and Security Services, they're the British equivalent of the American Air Force Office of Special Investigations, who've been deeply involved in the UFO subject for years. So again, this was kind of a good little indicator, if you like, or a big indicator, that these MIBs do originate, or some of them at least, in military intelligence. But as I point out in the book, you know, there are some reports that do fall into more of kind of an alien category, you know, with men in black looking very, very pale or short.
Right. And they came in twos. One didn't even talk, just stood there.
Yeah, some of them, you know, looked like they were wearing bad-fitting wigs and even makeup to make the faces look more, you know, human-colored, if you like. So, you know, it wouldn't actually surprise me if there were two things going on. There were genuine, unexplained men in black, and then the military thought, hang on a minute, you know, we can actually exploit this for our own purposes and hide behind the men in black mystery to hide what we're up to. So.
Did they threaten people, Nick?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of report. Nobody's actually, as far as I know, you know, actually the threats haven't been followed through. But it is just kind of the intimation of, hey, you know, you speak to somebody, you speak to the media, you tell your friends and family, something's going to happen. And I think for, you know, particularly in the 50s and 60s, when governments, I guess, you know, were kind of seen as all-powerful and so on, there was that fear that, you know, if I say something, what's going to happen? And, you know, there are countless reports on record where somebody has been told, you talk about this, you know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning. And that is quite effective, I guess, you know, if somebody turns up on your doorstep and flashes an official badge, whether it's real or not. But as I said, you know, it's just the idea of the scenario that something could happen to you that did prompt a lot of people just to clam up and say nothing for years.
You know, the movie Men in Black with Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith was a fun, lighthearted movie based on some interesting things. But do you think somewhere out there events like that may have occurred where, you know, they were aware of UFO landings and inhabitants and issues like that?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt. I'll tell you for why. One of the most fascinating reports I got, again, which is reproduced in full in the book, and it's a very, very detailed report from 1966, where, again, interestingly enough, a young lady reported the UFO sighting and actually postulated in the book that because a lot of young women are reported in abduction cases, I think this was actually linked with some sort of surveillance of abductees, which is something we can get into. But anyway, in this particular case, a number of military personnel turned up at this woman's house and interviewed her extensively about this encounter she'd had where she'd been driving home late at night in 1966 and the headlights on the car had failed and some sort of light was beamed down at the vehicle and it rendered her feeling very, very ill with pains in her neck and she felt lightheaded. And it was quite clear, you know, this could have been an early type of abduction encounter on a lonely road late at night, you know, with missing time. But because the UFO abduction scenario wasn't that well known at that time, at least in research circles, I suspect that the military knew back then that abductions were going on, and this was an attempt to find out what had happened to this woman. But they grilled her and interviewed her at length and prepared a full, extensive report. And I think, you know, finally, why I think this is important to get across to people is that this document in the book actually shows that people who've had late night encounters on lonely stretches of road and the cars have ground to a halt or the lights have gone out have actually been visited by the military, and now finally we can see some of these records.